What's going on, my ghost pals? I've run out of clever things to say. On this episode, I speak with Jeremy from the Beyond the Badge Paranormal Group based out of Virginia, and Edgegrave Dave reviews the movie Smile 2, so let's get into it.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am your host, Ghost Joe, and do I have an awesome show for you guys. As I stated in the intro, I interview Jeremy, who is the founding member of a Virginia-based paranormal group called Beyond the Badge. It's an awesome group spreading a great message of support for first responders and anyone who may be having a tough time right now. After that, please stay tuned because Edgegrave Dave reviews the movie Smile 2. You're not going to want to miss this show. You're not going to want to pass this up. So let's get right into it. So with me today is Jeremy from Beyond the Badge Paranormal Group. We had actually just started corresponding a week or two ago. And I was just very impressed by their mission statement of their group and, you know, being a New York City correction officer myself, I definitely relate to a lot of the stuff that they were talking about. So I had to have them on to find out more about their group and spread the word. So welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, man. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. What was it that got you into the paranormal? I know you said you founded Beyond the Badge. Was it a specific experience or just curiosity?
I've been curious and enthusiast of paranormal since I was a young child. I've just always been into history. I love the idea that there's something else past this life. And yeah, I just fell in love with it. Now, when I was a kid, there weren't any ghost shows on until I was probably my late teens, early 20s. And then I started watching Taps and those guys. And then pretty much from that point on, I have been an enthusiast. I raised my kids watching paranormal shows. And the joke was always, when dad gets old enough to retire, dad's going to run his own group. And I mean, I've studied everything that they did, so I was ready to go. Now, I'm not retired yet, but that's how I've just always been interested in it. It's a cool thing to be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way, man. I mean, I've had experiences since I was young, like a handful, a little bit more than a handful, but for me, yeah, that's basically why I started the podcast more than anything was, the curiosity and just, it fascinates me and it entertains me. Now, do I believe, because paranormal is a big umbrella, we go into UFOs and aliens and all this stuff. And do I believe in everything I talk about? Maybe not, but I find it really interesting and I want to believe in everything that I'm talking about, but if the whole thing just fascinates me, a lot. So what exactly is Beyond the Badge and when did you start it?
Yeah. So Beyond the Badge Paranormal started a little more than a year ago, actually. And so what Beyond the Badge Paranormal is, it's a paranormal team of individuals in my local area in Virginia that are all first responders, right? And so we travel around and we capture on film our adventures and we put them on YouTube. And we do it for the sole purpose of raising awareness about mental health issues for first responders. And we have a goal of preventing suicide and stuff like that for all of us, including yourself being a correctional officer. We started in a year ago, and it started out with just a couple of us, and realized that when we were in a haunted place, we weren't thinking about the job. That was the furthest from our mind. And so we kind of got this idea like, wow, man, this is like alternative therapy. We could just make videos and have fun. And then that kind of turned into a little bit more when we hooked up with a charity to try to actually have physical impact on people's lives. And it's just grown from there. Yeah. It's just a bunch of first responders, man. First responders for first responders. It's content for a cause is our logo or our motto. I'm sorry. So
that's excellent. So how many people do you have in the group at the moment?
So right now we have 9 people and the cap is 10 just because of the logistics of travel. And not every place you go to is big enough to have more than 10. I'm not, I don't fault anyone that likes to do the big group investigations and stuff, but that's just not what we do as a team. Our goal is to explore places with as little amount of people as possible, try to capture high quality paranormal evidence and make moderately entertaining videos on YouTube. So that's what we do. So there's 9 of us right now. And it's all firemen right now and some nurses.
What kind of investigations do you guys do? Like residential, commercial, abandoned places? Like what is it that you guys mainly do?
So we haven't done any residential. Yeah, we haven't done any residential right now. We have basically just traveled around and hit some of the notorious spots. So we did in this last year, we did some of the big locations was Sweet Springs Sanatorium in West Virginia. We did St. Albans Sanatorium in Radford. We did where else did we go? We've been to a few other places too. Oh, Waverly Hills. We traveled out to Kentucky and did that one. That was pretty fun. Yeah, that was pretty entertaining. And then we did we've done some places, other places in Virginia that aren't so well known. And you know, we have been fortunate enough to capture some super compelling evidence. I don't know if you had a chance to go to the website and look at the evidence page, but it's ridiculous. I don't know if the ghosts feel bad for us because we're all first responders and we're all screwed up, but they seem to come out for us, and we're just happy to capture it on film. So
it's a prerequisite for the job. You got to be a little bit nuts to do some of the stuff that we do.
Absolutely.
And actually, before I forget too, the one thing, it's funny because you mentioned that when you guys go on the, you know, the ghost hunts and stuff, that you kind of, you know, put the job on the back burner basically. And that's actually kind of why I do this podcast also. You know, a lot of people tell me, oh, you know, if you want to get a big podcast and have a lot of people doing, you know, listening, you know, true crime is the best podcast to do. And I said, I don't want to do true crime. That's like, I'm bringing my job home with me. You know, mm-hmm. Like I'm a correction officer. I see these guys every day. I don't want to talk about crimes and stuff like that on my time off. I want to forget about my job, right, and my time off. And that's exactly why I talk about the paranormal stuff, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So you said you were based in Virginia. You just mentioned a few places that you've done. What's the furthest that you've traveled?
Well, the Louisville, Kentucky was the furthest. That was 10 hours. And we stayed a few days there. And that was Waverly Hills Sanatorium. That's so far what we've done. We've already booked most of 2025. So 2025 is going to be wild. Places we've booked so far is Pennhurst, West Virginia State Penn, Trans-Allegheny. We booked a couple of plantations, western part of Virginia. So, oh, and then we're in the process of booking the prison in Tennessee. Was it Bushy or whatever it's called? I never pronounce it right. But so we got some pretty high, well-known locations coming up in 2025. And it's, you know, hopefully that will help us keep the pace going for our subscriber numbers and stuff like that. So
now when you're doing the investigations and stuff and you compile all your evidence and all that stuff, do you show like the evidence to, I don't know, the people that you're, you know, like whoever the caretakers or whoever, do you actually share your stuff with anybody else or just basically like your social media stuff? Like at the moment, it's just basically that.
Yeah. Cause a lot of stuff goes on social media. It takes so long to review the evidence. That it takes me about 2.5 to 3 weeks because we have 7-8 cameras and we're doing 10-hour investigations and then all the extra audio equipment that we record stuff on. So you're looking at hundreds of hours of video I have to sit in front of the computer and watch. And so sometimes I don't get the evidence review done and it takes me a few weeks. So But the people that we go to, like Sweet Springs and stuff like that, they can go and watch the video and see the evidence that's on there. With our webpage, people can go, anybody can go. It's completely free. You can go watch some of the cool audio and video stuff that we've caught. We're pretty much a open, transparent group. We don't have like a members page or anything. You could just come and enjoy it. We just ask that if you come to our page, make sure you hit the mission page on there. That's Survive First, the mission, and kind of read about what we're actually about. And then if you could go over to subscribe to our channel, every subscriber helps us get a little bit further reach for our message. So yeah, that's what we're all about.
What's been like the most memorable investigation so far? The Waverly Hills thing? I can imagine it's got to be that.
I mean, Waverly Hills was pretty cool, but surprisingly enough, that wasn't the most active place. I mean, we caught a few things there. There's a small place in Virginia just past Richmond on Route 360. It's called The Cabin on 360. And it is the most highly condensed amount of paranormal activity in a tiny brick rancher. And so on that property, it's a Civil War war property. It's got a cabin that was built in like the 80s, but it's haunted with whoever, I don't know. But then the brick rancher is nicknamed the Murder House. And in 1979, young Melissa Elliott was murdered by her stepbrother in there. And so you have her ghost, you have some male figure that roams the top floor. I'm not sure who that is. And then there's a non-human something in the basement. And so we've been there 3 or 4 times just because of the amount of activity that's in there. I just put out an episode a couple weeks ago that's called House of Evil. And it's not a normal investigation. We got invited to go back because someone did a ritual on the property, a satanic ritual. And then all of a sudden now everything in the house has gone much darker. So they invited us back to try to find out what was going on. And what we ended up doing, and what you'll see in the video, is we took 2 psychic mediums and we put them under the Estes method. And if you're not familiar with what that is, it's noise canceling headphones, blindfold, plugged into a spirit box, and the spirit box makes white noise. So the person under the experiment can hear nothing on the outside. They can only hear what they have coming through the spirit box. So anyway, we took 2 psychic mediums. We put them in 2 separate rooms of the house. And I stood in the middle of the house and I asked questions, and they both answered each other back and forth for 45 minutes to an hour, answering each other, finishing each other's sentences. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And I just put it into a quick video. It's 45 minutes long. If you haven't watched it, it's incredibly creepy. And it gets really dark towards the end. And then, yeah, it's wild. So that place right there is definitely the most active place. The video I'm working on right now, I just spent the night in a 1760s plantation home a couple nights ago. And I have some absolutely ridiculous evidence that I've caught while I was there. And I'm working on that now. That's going to take me another week or two to post. But yeah, we tend to get some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one of my mottos, I probably say it too much on my podcast, but, you know, the way I see it is, you know, there's evil spirits and demonic and stuff like that. But the way I see it is, if you were an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. So there's going to be some spirits that are just assholes, you know, because that's how they were. Their energy doesn't change, and that's how their energy is, you know, after. Have you ever encountered anything evil or demonic or just an asshole, you know?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much everywhere we go, there's, except for the circa 1760 house, the one I just left, that's all family members. It's the most peaceful place to, I mean, no fear at all. You can stay there all night by yourself. You'll be fine. Just, you'll hear and see things, but it's all nice people. But, yeah, I've experienced, unfortunately, personally, a lot of things. I'm the leader of the group, and I do a lot of the talking, right? So for whatever it is, I become a target a lot of times. And I don't like to provoke, but sometimes I get a little provoking behavior and I have to be brought back, reeled back in a little. just because I'm trying to get things to happen. But I've had things follow me home. I've been affected for like weeks at home with just darkness, and I've had things come in my house. I've had things affect my family. So for people who've never, who only watch it on TV and think it's just Hollywood, there's a lot of actual like dangerous stuff in dealing with some of these things. And I've experienced most of that this year already. It's important for us to have a psychic medium on board, someone who can cleanse us and cleanse our houses and things like that. So it's fun to watch it on TV, but when you're actually doing it, there are some precautions you have to take, and because you're dealing with things that are very powerful, and you don't know what you're talking with. You know, I don't believe that every time you go somewhere, you see a demon. I mean, I think that's a slim chance you're going to have that interaction. With the exception of Cabin 360, I have no doubt that whatever's in there is something as evil as it gets. It's very evident whatever that is absolutely from something totally not human. Everywhere else, I can totally see that it's a person who was an asshole that's just an asshole now. And we always split in teams of two. So like, sometimes we'll bring 10 people just because we'll grab an extra first responder that wants to just go with us. And we once we have a spot open, we'll offer it out to somebody that might want to go that's not part of the team. And then we'll split into teams of twos and threes because we find that we get more from that. And yeah, the ghosts or the spirits seem to respond better when they're small groups. And then there's a lot to it, man. You know, like, you know, being respectful and not screaming and yelling and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you're talking to real people. They just happen to not be alive anymore. So we try to be respectful from that and try to understand it's their place and we're just guests. So, hey man, so look, if we end up heading up to Northern or upstate New York or whatever, maybe you can meet us up there. We're looking at trying to book the Hinsdale house. I don't know where that is compared to where you are, but that's super creepy. And so if you're interested, man, maybe we'll hit you up when we go that way and you can meet us up there and we can do a little investigation. Yeah, because, you know, we support you. You're a first responder as well. And, you know, we want to let you know that you have support and resources for you. And that's what we're here for through our foundation or through the Survive First Foundation, the one we work with. We provide support for you and all your fellow coworkers and stuff like that. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this now: if money was no object, what's the one place that you would love to investigate?
Money was no object. It would probably be somewhere in Europe, the catacombs, maybe. Under Paris, I guess Paris has catacombs. I would try to go in there. I think there's some cool shit in there, man. I know they got catacombs in a whole bunch of places, but Paris catacombs, I would absolutely go spend a week there. That'd be cool.
There's a really good found footage movie. There's a really good found footage movie called As Above, So Below. That's about the catacombs. It's really
That's creepy, good. Right, though?
That's a good movie.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, man, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it would probably, I always said like, for me, it would be Dracula's castle. I would love to just go into, you know, because it's so iconic,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, Vlad the Impaler's castle. That would be mine.
Yeah. We did a little European tour, my family and I, and every castle we went to, you know, I'm doing my own personal ghost adventure while I'm in there, you know? Yeah, I like to get left alone. I always stay behind the group and let everybody go and leave me. And then I'll stay in there and just chat it up, you know, like, hey, it's cool if you come out and touch me, you know, I really want to know you're here. And so I'm always falling way behind.
Yeah. Me and my family went on a cruise back in July and we stopped over in Florida. We didn't get off the boat for that, but I wish we would have been, I think, closer to Orlando, but I was hoping we were going to be near Key West because I always wanted to see Robert the Doll. Always. And Robert the Doll is in a is in a museum in Key West. I mean, yeah, you got to follow those rules. You got to follow the Robert the Doll rules. But I got to meet Annabelle, and I got a picture with Annabelle, which was really cool. But, you know, Robert.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm on the fence about the whole doll thing. I don't know how that really works. Like, I don't want to be wrong.
Right,
and
right.
And then get affected.
Yeah, so, I mean, exactly. Like, you don't want
to.
Right. I mean, that's for me, too. Like, people are like, you took a picture with her? Like, why wouldn't you? I said, I mean, I think she was all right with it. You know, I don't think she was that.
As long as you ask permission, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, and I said it. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to take a picture now. You know, like, she didn't answer back, so I figured it was all right, you know.
Well, you seem to be doing fine, so.
Yeah, you know. So what do you guys have planned for the near future? What do you guys got coming up?
So this weekend coming up, we're going back to end the season at St. Albans again. So we're going to end it where it started. We're going to go back for another night there, and then we're going to wrap it up. That's it for the year. And then January, we kick it back off. We got some places we're heading out. Bedford County, there's a bed and breakfast out in Bedford County, Virginia. We're going to head that way. And then pretty much after that, it's just going to be traveling traveling out of state every other month. And then we try to do something close by in between those, because we're all a lot like you. I mean, we work a lot, and budget is always tight, and we have to pay for everything ourselves. And that's another reason why subscribers are really important for us. We have some sponsors waiting in the shadows for us. They said if our subscriber numbers go up a little bit, they would help us with travel. So we're just sort of kind of waiting to get that number so we don't have to take it out of pocket, because right now it costs us quite a bit. I don't know if people realize this, but like Waverly Hills, for instance, beautiful, amazing place, but it cost, you know, $1,000 a night to stay there, right? So you split that between your group plus travel, plus Airbnbs and all the things, and eventually, you know, it's a pretty expensive trip. And we don't have a Hollywood studio budget where somebody's giving us money. We have to, you know, pay for it ourselves. But yeah, man. And then, so that's sort of like how the beginning of the year is going to start. We just started, we're getting ready to start a nonprofit in our area too. I know this sounds crazy being a paranormal group and all, but, you know, we work with a foundation out of Florida for mental health for first responders. But then we realized there was a missing link for the families of first responders. They don't get any mental health training and they have no resources. So we're actually starting a nonprofit called the Family Support Alliance right here in our local area. That's going to provide resources to wives and children and husbands and stuff that are first responder spouses, basically. And so we're trying to keep that family unit tight. So Beyond the Badge is really a lot more than just a paranormal team. We love hunting ghosts and doing all that cool stuff. But the thing that separates us from every other group is that we do everything for a reason and for a purpose and for a cause. You know, we just want to try to make a difference. So we know it's unlikely that we'll ever become billionaires doing this. But if we can save one person, right, then we've done our job. So
that's awesome.
And accomplished the mission.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. It's pretty awesome.
So if someone wanted to get in touch with you guys for an investigation or to find out more info about Beyond the Badge, how could they do that?
Well, we have a pretty amazing website. It's amazing because I made it, so I know it's awesome. It's beyondthebadgeparanormal.com. Let me tell you, man, this website is cool because I made it because I struggled when we tried to start the group to find information about things. Like, it was, how do you start a group? What equipment do you need? How do you book locations? I had none of this, and it took me quite a while to figure these things out. And so when I created this website, I thought, well, why don't I make a one-stop shop for a person like you and your friend who want to start a group? There's no guesswork in it. So you can come to our website, and you can see the places we've been, learn the history about the places. And there's links to each one of those places to book your own trips, which is cool. And then you can see evidence, you can see all that. But then there's a knowledge center. The knowledge center, it basically kind of goes over the equipment that we use. There's instructional videos, links to the equipment. And then the cameras that we use are kind of like a big deal. So like if you're going to go ghost hunting, you want a good camera with night vision and all that. I went ahead and put in a paranormal camera build area where you can click the buttons and takes you to an Amazon link for each piece of that camera. So you don't have to try to search it yourself. You don't have to guess, is this light going to work or is this everything on there? If you click the buttons, you'll be set for your paranormal investigation. And then, of course, we have our Survive First stuff on there, which is really important as well. But at the very end, there's a contact page. And if anyone would like to get a hold of us, you can click that, go to the contact page, put your information in, send me an email. I answer every email without a doubt. I'm never going to not answer. We communicate. We're not so big now that we need somebody to do it for us. I mean, I'm still answering emails and stuff like that. But yeah, we love to hear people. We like to hear people's comments and opinions on the things we're doing, good and bad, because it helps us, you know, put out better quality entertainment. And please go over to our YouTube channel though and subscribe, man. It's there's 26 videos on there right now, but the season, I think there's 10 episodes out right now. I'm getting ready to put 11th episode out probably the end of the week. And then the 12th episode will be St. Albans. That'll come out mid-December, I guess. And so they've definitely gotten better since we started. Because kind of like you, man, you're learning the podcast stuff. You start spending some money, start doing things. I learned the editing a little better. And you can kind of see the transition where the editing gets better and the music. Right, and yeah. So, but yeah, go and check all those things out. And of course, we got TikTok. That's how you and I met.
Right.
We got a little TikTok channel that we post every single day. That's the algorithm for you to get followers. Just 2 to 3 posts per day. And
so hard to find.
What that does is, sometimes, man, you find the old content and you just put on there a throwback to, okay, you know, or trip down. That's what I did the other day. I said, trip down memory lane and just put out an old video and screenshots. Like if you screenshot this right here, right, and then like us sitting here and just put out, you know, had a great talk with Beyond the Badge Paranormal, mm-hmm, episode coming soon. You know, that's boom, you're done. I mean, right, pretty much that's what I do every morning. I wake up at about 6 o'clock in the morning and I'll like, all right, I'm gonna knock out 3 quick posts on TikTok. And nice. I think that's actually helping. And then once you get a solid following, you know, it'll take off a little bit, but the 1,000 thing you're trying to get to,
right,
you know, you gotta go and follow a bunch of people.
Right. Right.
And most of those will follow you back.
Gotcha. So, all right, man. So, you know, thank you for taking your time out of the day to talk to me and, you know.
Yeah, no worries. Is it already an hour?
No, just a half hour, actually.
I can keep going, man. Oh, it's only a half hour?
Yeah. I really like, you know, what you guys stand for, what you guys are doing, you know.
Real quick for you, man. And so you and me are grown ass men, right? And there's a stigma with mental health for us, especially. And then you take the first responder thing and correctional officer, fireman, policeman. We're not supposed to show any weakness. Obviously not while you're at work. That's not going to be good for you, especially. But it's okay not to be okay, man. And it's okay to hurt. This whole bullshit idea that guys can't have pain and show emotions is total bullshit. I'm a grown ass man and I do a lot of manly things, but when I'm hurting and I'm struggling, it's okay. You know, the message you need to know. And if you don't mind spreading this to your, coworkers and friends, and you can promote the channel if you want, it's not required, but let them know that it's okay. It's okay to show weakness. It's okay to be in pain, and that you're important. Tomorrow needs you. The world is better because you're in it. And there's people out there that actually do care. And if you ever get yourself in a situation where you don't think anyone's listening, you can always reach out to me personally. You can reach out to Beyond the Badge. You can reach out to Survive First. We will never hang up on you. We're never going to quit on you. So if you have something going on or you know a coworker that's struggling, please pass it on, and we'll get them to the support they need. Because what I don't want to do is lose another first responder to the stigma of, well, I got to keep it inside until it's too late. And yeah, that's our goal, man.
Yeah, I've had some coworkers that unfortunately, you know, went that route. It's upsetting, you know, because you never know what's going on. And the thing is, our supervisors and, you know, they don't, I hate to say it, but most of them don't care. You know, they just want to go there. They don't care what's happening with us. They just want us to take the post and that's it, you know? So it's, you know, it's good what you guys are doing. And listen, if you ever decide to get to the point where you're going to expand the group, man, and you want to, you need an expansion to New York, let me know, man, you know, cause,
yeah, we've talked about it. Know, I mean,
I'd love to be involved in some way. That would be awesome for sure.
That's one of the things we've talked about maybe in a year or two where we say, look, you know, like TAPS was located here, but like they had little groups of TAPS everywhere that kind of fell under our umbrella. Because the idea is that, look, man, it is about the entertainment, but really it's about reaching first responders, right? So if we had a group of Beyond the Badge Paranormal in New York, then you could also reach all the people in your area, you know? You know, we've talked about it. We're just sort of trying to take it slow and trying to figure out what the hell we're doing. It's like I said, it's year one. So
right.
I've created so many things right now with this nonprofit starting, and we're trying to do so many things. I'm like, all right, I'm one guy here. And I got my couple of folks in my group. There's two or three that are like big into helping me do some of these big things, but I don't want to overwhelm them as well. So, but I definitely, you know, you and I need to keep in touch anyway. Sure. And you know, I don't know how you normally do your podcast. If you ever need another guest to come on and just talk about paranormal stuff and whatever, I'm always available to hop on with you. And so, yeah, please feel free to invite me if you'd like anytime you want. And we can just chat about random paranormal stuff and UFOs and whatever you want, man.
Awesome. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Ah, if you can see me now, Edgegrave Dave is smiling from ear to ear. At the time of this recording, I am smiling because it is still spooky season. And I am also smiling because I just came out of the theaters and bore witness to the film Smile 2, which is a sequel to the 2022 film Smile. And come to think of it, 2022 was the year that I had begun doing reviews right here on the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast. And I just saw Terrifier 3. That review will be coming at you, where that is a sequel to Terrifier 2, which came out in 2022. We've had some interesting sequels to horror films that have come out in 2022. And we also had Barbarian in 2022, not to mention Halloween Ends, X and Pearl. What is the significance to the year 2022? Well, I guess the only thing I can say, as I've been saying since that year, is get ready for an Edgegrave warning, spoiler alert. Like the first acknowledge Parker Finn, Smile and Smile 2 are basically his only two feature films, major feature films. He's made other ones as well, as Laura Hasn't Slept in 2020, and also The Hide Behind. But I'm very proud that this is a film that has garnered such acclaim because Smile has done so well. And just like in the original film, you don't really get to see this every day. Before the film started, you have Naomi Scott, who played the main character, Sky. Well, she flat out thanked the audience and just talked about the hard work that went into it and how much fun that they had and how proud that they were as an accomplishment. This is something that isn't really done a lot of the time. It's like something that would be done at a film festival or maybe at a college presentation. And I remember, as I have said in the Smile review, the marketing for this film was like nothing that you've ever seen. I remember that Al Roker was talking about people standing up at baseball games just out of nowhere, given the creepiest smile that you've ever seen. And the marketing blended perfectly. Paramount Pictures, the marketing, the posters, the director, they all made that film come together. And that was a truly excellent film. But Smile 2, does it stack up? Well, we're going to find out. I became aware of this new film's existence not too long ago, as trailers and ads started popping up everywhere for it. And the whole point of the Smile series so far, and again, spoiler alert, is that you have a demonic entity where it could disguise itself as just about anyone. And Joel, a character from the first film that was friends with the main character, Rose, he saw her demise. And unfortunately, the only way that you can break the chain, this demon makes you see smiling faces, the creepiest smile that you've ever seen. And also you start to question reality, almost in a sort of Freddy Krueger sort of way, where it drives you to commit suicide. And the only way that you can break the chain is either by your own death or by murdering someone. That's at least how the one prisoner in the original film did break the chain. Except this time around, it's happening to a pop star. Think of Madonna, think of Lady Gaga, think of Demi Lovato. I thought this was such an interesting concept on paper. I mean, think about it. You're in the public eye. However it is that you're going crazy, it's going to catch up with you. Now, one of the main issues that I did have with it, for those of us that were, I'm going to say, unlucky enough to see the trailer, a lot of things were given away in this trailer. A lot of the jump scares and a lot of the big moments in the film. That's something that I've been finding increasingly has been happening a lot in this day and age. Do they think we don't have the attention span? Do they think it's a generational thing? Could it be because we're in a post-COVID world and they want to get asses in seats in the movies? I'm not really sure, but there were a lot of things in the trailer that, quite frankly, I just wish that I didn't already see. Now, like I said, on paper, this is a really, really great idea. But the film, and as much as there were many things that I did like about it, really focuses quite a bit on the emotional state and backstory of the pop star Sky. And I think that Naomi Scott did a terrific job. I mean, the acting is absolutely excellent and it'll keep you guessing. It could just be a little draggy from time to time. I think that the pace of the movie is a little bit confused. It starts off really, really interesting and really has you kind of going. And then it just kind of focuses a lot on certain moments in time when you almost kind of forget what's going on and you might even be looking around wondering when something's happening. When this happens, it can sort of lose the momentum of the movie. And that doesn't necessarily make it a bad film. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that enjoyed that. I mean, it definitely takes its time. It was never like a fast action, super special effects type film to begin with. It's more in the vein of like The Ring or a really like mysterious type of uncomfortable horror like Hereditary or Midsommar, maybe something like that. But when the action does come, I mean, it seriously does have some payoffs. I just wish that they weren't all shown in the trailer. But as you get to the end, oh man, this film really goes to some really crazy places of things that either happened or didn't happen. And they really play with you. For one of the first times, I'm going to say it might play with you just a little bit too much because you kind of find yourself wondering what was actually happening while it's showing you what it's showing. And the ending is really, really crazy. For better or worse, it is a special effects action-paced feast for the eyes, something that maybe we didn't necessarily need to do what it did, but when it gets you there, it leaves you on, I'm going to call it a cliffhanger. How they're going to do that after seeing this ending, let's just say is going to be very, very difficult. I mean, once you see this film, you're going to see exactly what I mean. I'm almost more curious to see if they do make a Smile 3, what could they possibly do with it? And there are quite a lot of ways to do that. I do want to also give a special acknowledgement to Ray Nicholson, Jack Nicholson's son. And one of the reasons why they did cast him, I just read this, it's paying homage to The Shining. And when you see certain scenes, man, you can definitely see that Ray is Jack's son. I think all of the characters absolutely serve their part. I think that the plot is sort of going in different directions at different times. And at certain times, it does drag just a little bit. But again, absolutely worth seeing. That and Terrifier 3 right now are making some serious cash at the box office. Seeing films in their theatrical form is always my method of choice. And I am glad that this horror resurgence that we're seeing seems to be doing quite well. So I'm going to rate this one about a 3 out of 5 graves, a little bit of a step down from the original Smile. There are certain people that are going to definitely think that this film might have outdone the first one in certain ways. It does depend what you're into, but on paper, great story. The execution, I was hoping for things done maybe a little bit differently, but you really do feel for the main character, Sky. So go ahead, check out Smile 2, and I know you'll be coming out smiling. Keep smiling during the spooky season, Ghost Joe. Edgegrave out.
So I just want to say thanks again to Jeremy for taking time out of his schedule to speak with me, as I know that he actually wasn't feeling very well during the course of the interview. And also, by the way, if you want to know more about Beyond the Badge, which I really hope you do, please check out the show notes, as I'll have all of the links for the social medias in there as well. And of course, thank you, as always, to my guy, Edgegrave Dave, for his awesome, horrible review on Smile 2. So have a good night, everybody, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Later. Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warprealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warprealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.